Good to see each one of you here tonight. Let's stand together, please. Turn to page 137. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Page 137, we'll sing all four verses as we begin our service together tonight. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, amen. Let's sing out together on the first verse. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth.
God's house. Amen. And sure glad that you are here tonight. And I believe one of my kids said this is Christmas Adam, since tomorrow is Christmas Eve. All right. So a little Bible joke there. Didn't go over very good. You'll be all right. Amen. Well, I do know this, that the first day of winter was this week and we are now getting it. Amen. But looking forward to tonight. Good to have church planter Brother Keith Drinkard here with us. And his family, and just dear friends over in Leawood, and sure thankful they are here tonight. I know Emily is glad to see their kids. We were at the GIBF meeting back in September, and she went right over to the Drinkard kids and then came back and said, my cousins were here. And so, amen. So, welcome to the family, brother, I guess. So, but watch out for that four-year-old, amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight, and let's ask God's blessing on the service. Brother Steve Parker, would you pray for us tonight? Right. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Don't have a whole lot of announcements. I think most everybody knows, of course, tomorrow, Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Friday, our offices will be closed. Did just want to mention this, this coming Sunday, December the 27th, we'll have a couple of things going on. Of course, in our adult class, the pastor's class, we'll be having Brother Caleb McDaniels is going to be teaching our class, and then Pastor Ben Quinlan up at Bible Baptist Church there in Glenwood, Iowa, is going to be preaching Sunday morning and then Sunday night, and so looking forward to having him and his family here with us. And then next Wednesday, Brother Jack Parker is going to be preaching in the Wednesday night service. Of course, it being that Wednesday between Christmas and New Year's, we're not going to be running our buses, and so we'll have the teens up here in the main service, and we'll have a combined children class downstairs. And then, of course, it'll be New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, and the offices will be closed, but sure looking forward to 2021 and moving on in the service of the Lord. Amen. And be much in prayer for our country. Pray for this vaccine that they have coming out. I sure do miss a lot of our folks, and hoping that this thing will come out. That way a lot of our folks that are high risk and haven't been able to come will be able to make their way back to the house of the Lord. All right, if you have your prayer list tonight, let's go ahead and get those out. Did just have a couple of things tonight to mention, and then we'll take any prayer requests or updates or anything like that. And by the way, if you do have an update or if there's somebody on the prayer list that we need to take off, please let us know. And that way we can get them off and we're not praying over a situation that God's already answered in or something of that nature. And so just very quickly, just wanted to mention a few things. Under the health column, down the very first column there, almost there to the end, about six, seven places from the bottom there, is a dear lady by the name of Kathy Chadwick. That is Ms. Shelby Dawson's grandmother. And we've been praying for her. She had a stroke. And now they've diagnosed her with having congestive heart failure. And so it's kind of a serious situation here. And there are some decisions that the family is going to have to make regarding this and whether or not to have surgery and those kind of things. And so if you would just make that a matter of prayer, I know that Ms. Shelby and her family would appreciate that. Of course, we do have quite a few that we have been praying for with COVID-19. And be a fact, one of the men that we added last week, Don Paget, passed away this past week. And so do pray for that family. Of course, he's under the other requests there. And of course, we still have a lot of folks that are mourning some losses here and things like that. And so remember that, those families in prayer. And then also wanted to mention tonight, if we would continue to pray for the Gorman family. Of course, Brother Lance's dad passed away, and they had to they buried him last Monday, Monday. And then we got a call yesterday that Miss Natalie Gorman's uncle, this morning, her uncle passed away as well from COVID. And so remember that family in prayer, just really going through some trying times, and so pray for them. Also wanted to mention this, and I apologize for not correcting this on the prayer list, but we actually found out last week that Don Mead, that has been on our prayer list under shut-ins, passed away. And so he actually passed away back in February, and the nursing home never let us know or anything like that. And of course, he didn't have a whole lot of family or anything like that. And so that's why I say to you tonight, if you've got somebody you added on here that doesn't need to be on here, please let us know. That way we can get those things taken care of. All right. So does anybody have an update or a prayer request or anything like that? Brother Gary Waters. Praise the Lord. Good. Well, praise the Lord. Okay. So this is a young man that works with Brother Gary Waters, Trevor Jones, and he's on our prayer list for being paralyzed. And so praise the Lord to hear that he's able to feed himself and operate his own wheelchair. And so continue to pray for that situation. Anybody else tonight? Yes, ma'am. Miss Anita. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, praise the Lord. All right, so we can take John Fowler off. All right, Brother David Griffin. Okay. All right, so let's pray for the Griffin family for travel and going to what Sweet Home, Oklahoma, huh? Amen. All right, Miss Beth Kurt. Oh my. Wow. Right, right. Okay, what's his name? Do you have a name? Joey, what was the last name? Okay, Jody Crane. Okay. Right. All right. Okay, so let's remember Jody Crane and for healing, and then also baby Zara. We'll sure pray for her and for the infection there. All right, anybody else have a prayer request or an update or anything like that? All right, Caleb. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. That's a blessing. Amen. Anybody else tonight? All right, let's have our men come tonight. A couple of Heartland guys. And both passed the semester, right? Right? Okay. Just whatever. You didn't have to make straight. Well, you do need to make straight A's, but it's all right as long as you passed. All right. Amen. Brother Luke Quinlan, why don't you pray for us tonight, bud?
Let's stand one last time together this evening. Turn to page 123 in your hymn book. Silent Night, Holy Night, page 123. We'll sing all verses for our last song together this evening. Sing out with me on the first verse. Silent night, holy night. All is bright round yon child. Tonight, please remain standing.
Why don't you go ahead and be seated tonight. Normally, we do have a missionary update on Wednesday night, but since we do have one of our church planters with us, I asked Brother Drinkard if he'd just give us a brief update, and then he's going to preach the word to us tonight. And so, Brother Drinkard, you come on ahead and give us what the Lord laid on your heart.
All right. Good evening. It is good. It's cold outside. I was telling somebody I thought I saw penguins walking across the parking lot, but I realized those were my kids. But it is good. We blew in just nicely. It was interesting, though, that as the winter solstice started, you know, it was really nice and warm. And then today it just seemed like it blew in something really cold. But I'm glad to be here. I hope that you have warm hearts and you're all getting ready for Christmas. Are you ready for it? Yeah? Good. All right. No last-minute shoppers here? Yeah. Okay. All right. A few of us. Very elite club, all right? So only special people get to be in that one. But I just want to say thank you. Thank you for claiming us as your church planter. Really, that means a blessing. Just the verbiage of showing some distinct ownership, it gives a kind of encouragement and reinforcement in the ministry that's over there in Leawood, Kansas. For those of you who I've not had a chance to meet yet, personally and formally, my name is Keith Drinkard, and my wife, Melissa, is just a few rows back there. And I have four little kids, Kaylin, Keith, Grace, and Lily. We are your church planting missionaries to Leawood, Kansas, not too far from here, about as close as to Missouri as you can get, just about, here in Johnson County. And we're grateful to be there. We've celebrated 1 year in October, and that was a tremendous blessing. Someone asked, are you thriving or surviving? And I said, probably a little bit of both, you know, maybe, you know. It's good to have a balanced life. I usually ask engaging conversations with the question by saying, do you work hard or hardly work? And the reply is, you know, yeah, a balanced life. I do a little bit of both. So that's good, you know. We're thriving and surviving. So that is a blessing. And I say surviving because I think a lot of us probably went into survival mode a little bit with COVID this season. Yeah, okay, just checking. Maybe check your pulse, too, while you're at it. I just need some responsiveness here. No, this is just a little play. So I appreciate you all engaging this evening. And I just want to say thank you for your love, your prayer, and your support, okay? Most importantly, your prayers. That is really going to fuel the ministry over there. Because trust me, we are very qualified to being inept to do anything of God's work. But it's God through us, okay? All right, so I hope that you catch the play on word, qualifying and being inept, okay? Because it's not of me. I can't do church planting, okay? Neither can my family. So it's God. God is building the church, and he's, for some reason, willing to do it through me, which is a huge blessing. You know, I just pinch myself, and I look around and think, man, it wasn't too long ago as I was in an office at a corporate building, or a corporate bank, and I was working my way up, and I went to the last rung, you know, was being trained for the very last position. And this all happened in a whirlwind. My career in corporate banking was a whirlwind, and I loved it. I loved it. I wouldn't trade it for anything. It was a great experience, as hindsight 2020, but I knew God had been preparing us for something greater. And for now to be in this place, it's the greatest thing that could ever happen to anybody, honestly. For anybody ever contemplating the idea of going into full-time ministry, I would encourage you to continue to seek the face of God and continue to keep underneath the leadership of your pastor and continue to be faithful to God's word. And he's going to guide and direct you right to that place that he has been holding for you the entire time. Now, he uses different phases of our lives to train us and get us ready for the next one, and that's okay. That's where I feel we're at. We had a great year this year by way of just getting started, allowing churches to really participate with us because we knew we needed the help, right? And churches start churches, by the way. That's Bible. And so we were able to see a host of individuals be influenced by that, by God putting a church in Leawood where no one, I don't think, made their, you know, number one list to go into, right? Okay. If you know someone from Leawood, don't say anything bad about them. You know, encourage them to maybe go to Ironwood Baptist Church or something like that. You know, in COVID season, there has been wonderful stories of folks finding the Lord, coming to Jesus Christ, coming to church for the first time, seeking after God. That's wonderful. That's great. I'm going to just be quite honest with you, just a little bit. Okay, little missionary transparency here. Okay, not a lot of folks are looking to go into a school to find a church. Or a hotel to find a church. We were displaced there when the school shut down. We didn't have a home to go to. You know, we found a hotel, or the Lord led us to one. Beautiful facility. We loved it. They are extremely hospitable. And it saved us money, right? Like, that's not a bad thing, you know, when you have an expense and budget and such. And we were able to continue moving forward. You know, our people ended up liking the hotel better. They felt more comfortable. It was more inviting and encouraging for them to bring other people, and which they did, which was huge. That was a great blessing. We had one individual whose first day with us was our last day before the big break. You know, 3 months doing service in our kitchen, right? And that was with a phone. We weren't cooking or anything like that, right? Okay. Baptists know how to eat, but we weren't doing church service, you know, over the kitchen stove. So with that being said, our first service back in the hotel, the gentleman came back. And so we've put him in our prayer letter to pray for salvation. His name is Cooper. Just to see the little things, you know, where he had never darkened the door of a church by way of any consistency at all. He has now. And then he never carried a Bible. He's carrying the King James Bible. He's lost. He needs Jesus Christ. So if you want to please pray for Cooper, I sure would appreciate that. So little celebrations that we've had along the way since we've been there. I want to let you know to your account, okay? We've seen 3 come to Jesus Christ and accept him as Savior, and we've seen 2 baptized, so that's a big deal to us. We're very grateful for what God is going to do in 2021. So we have all of these plans and formulas and strategies and everything that we can muster up in our own selves to really catapult us with an upward trajectory in 2021. But, you know, COVID could happen again. So I don't want to disappoint you all. But, you know, I'm just saying is that we're working hard to really just kind of put ourselves in a place where we say, Lord, this is as far as we can go. Now we need you to step in. You know, I think that there is a little bit of trepidation in a missionary being like full exposure, like just transparent as all get out, because people want to hear, you know, of all of the difficult things that has happened in ministry, because missionaries can paint it like so pristine and so nice, like, oh man, that's great, you know, you've been stuck in the mud with malaria and you don't have a refrigerator and your kids are, you know, on the deathbed and everything is hunky-dory. Some of those letters come out like that and I'm like, man, that's just not ministry. And that didn't even attract me as a kid. I was sitting four rows back often in my church house where God was speaking to my heart. And during that time, I was refusing, you know, the leading of the Lord. But he was drawing other people, too, through some of those things. And I praise God for a specific family, the Brown family. They're going to an indigenous, or they're there now. They're writing scripture. They're translating it from Greek and Hebrew into this indigenous people language. And they are. They're just what I described. They're struggling. But their letters just paint the glory of God all over it. And that's the key. Is that the worst thing that can happen to us, we're still going to give the glory to the Lord. Melissa might have to help me out here, with the song, God Builds Churches with Broken People. Before the Lord can use a man, he has to break one. Moses could have never been used if he wasn't broken first. There's a lot of men that had gone before us that had to be broken first to be used of God. Okay, count me one of those weird missionaries. I've kind of been praying for that. Okay? Just to be honest with you. Because there's people that are hurting over there. And I say over there like it's a really far away place. But I think relationally, it is. I think that inside of our own conjured up social classes that we develop, I think they are far away. And I don't know if that is something that they have done, I say they, or we have done, as if there are two distinct classes. I just think in general, people can put others on pedestals, and I think that people also can put them out in the street, just by way of our own personality development. And I'm talking a little bit of kind of outside of the box here. I'm saying is that in our own experiences, we can classify certain individuals, and then it prevents us from reaching them. Okay? And that's here in the heartland. It's here in Kansas City. For some of us, it's even in our families. And you say, oh, well, I can never reach them. Or I've tried, but maybe we can ask ourselves that question again, how hard did we try? I am appreciative of Faith Baptist Church and the legacy that you all have here. Very grateful for your faithfulness. It's in the name, but really, truly, honestly, it is. I came in late purposefully at the funeral of Brother Watson here. I sat in the very last row, and it was really moving to see all of the men who are in ministry stand up under that has been influenced some way, shape, and form by him. I jumped on something that your pastor had said, which, by the way, that was probably like the best preaching funeral I've ever been to. That really was. I mean, regardless of the personality of who was doing it, I mean, the Word of God was preached and done so effectively, and I just thought that was really good. He said, I'm just going to pick up where he left off. I'm going to pick up the Bible where he laid it down and continue to preach. But he said something to this effect, and I messed up the quote, but I wrote it how it spoke to me. He said, young men in ministry look to influence and establish a legacy. But all God wants is for his man of God to be faithful to his word. What comes from that is influence and a legacy. And that's not only what Brother Watson did, but that's what God has done with men of God, not only in this church, and what I believe he'll do in other parts of this city and has been doing, okay? So there are other preachers and pastors that have been pastoring and leading a flock for over 30 years in this area. Pastor Wes Stewart has wonderful experience. There's other men of God in our area, in the region of the Midwest to glean from. And they've been a huge blessing to us, and Brother Wes Stewart is no exception. They've been a tremendous blessing to our family, and I'm okay with Kansas Cousins. We like Emily. We might just leave with her tonight. I'm not real for sure. But anyways, we're very grateful for the ministry here. So I know that's not your typical update, okay? So I understand that. But I want to let you know, because you guys have kind of been like a second family to us here. So we appreciate that. We appreciate that. So any time that we're around family, we share things that really aren't supposed to be shared everywhere else, okay? So, you know, just take that for what it's worth. If you have your Bible, bring it over to Luke chapter 2. When you found Luke 2, you could stand for the reading of honoring God's word. I sure would appreciate that. The best thing, you say, what can we do for you? God has blessed us beyond our imagination, okay? The greatest thing that you can do for us or for any ministry or any missionary is, number one, pray, and number two, genuine, sincere encouragement, okay? Genuine, sincere encouragement. But prayer, as I was reading earlier today, Ian Bounds said, God's plan is to make much of the man, far more of him than anyone else. Men are God's method. The church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. That's our hope and that's our prayer. If you want to pray effectively for us, pray that we be the men and women of God that he wants us to be developed into, so that we continue his work and his ministry. Yeah, I found Luke 2. It's a familiar story. I'm going to ask that you look at verse number 8. You know, in our home, we read every single Christmas story as we're preparing to go into Christmas Day. And one of these stories here is a beloved one of ours. And it starts in verse 8. And there were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. By night. You know it was not in December if they're watching flocks at night, okay? You know, because it's extra special cold in the wintertime at night, right? So we know that this is not December 25th. And it says in verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. I love that phrase. As we've studied that out over time, it really does speak volumes. And I don't think that human tongue can clearly articulate what the glory of the Lord and how it shone round about them could, other than the Holy Spirit speaking through Luke here as he is writing. It says in verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You know, that's what the Jews need. They need a sign, right? That's what they were always looking for. So here you go. Here's your sign. It says, continuing verse number 13. He says this, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, okay, now I want us to go back up to verse number 11. It says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Okay, now I'm going to reread this again with some emphasis here. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. I'm sure they said it just how I did, right? Something like that. In verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them, them being the shepherds, into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and prophesied them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray. God in heaven, you're so good to us. Lord, thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for sending Jesus Christ here to earth. Lord Jesus, thank you for humbling yourself to leave the glories of heaven to come to walk this earth. And Lord, thank you for giving us a pattern of life to follow after you, and even giving us good godly men to follow after, such as Paul and Luke as he is writing these historical accounts. God, Lord, I pray that these familiar truths that you have given to us not rest on our heart and our ear as just the same story in which we have heard and it's been read before, but Lord, with new light, shine it on this again. Lord, that just reveal some truths to us in which we so desperately need in this time and in this hour. Lord, I pray that you remove any human error or restrictions. Lord, my stammering tongue especially, I pray, God, you just bridle that. And Lord, just as I surrender my body to you, Lord, I just ask that you pour me out and fill me full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray that your words would come out. And then I pray the same, Lord, for the people before me. Lord, open them up and just spill them out, Lord, that there'd be nothing left of themselves, Lord, but that you would fill them full of the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that they would receive your truths, Lord, with gladness. And Lord, then they would have this strong desire that would compel them to do just exactly what it is that you've said, Lord, to bring glory to you. Lord, I love you, and I thank you for what you're about ready to do. And in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing long. So I have maybe been a part of something like this only a few times. I say this, an event, a big event where there's a huge revealing, right? A lot of people do these reveals and they put them on the videos. You know, they're going to reveal a gender. Have you ever been to a gender reveal party? No. Okay, great. So, you know, do you know what I'm talking about when I say this? Yeah. There may be two mystery balloons and they pop one and pink dust comes out, or they pop another and blue dust comes out, or they'll invite a host of different people to this place and they'll throw darts at balloons, and if it hits a balloon, the color is revealed and they're like, ah, oh, it's a boy, or ah, oh, it's a girl. Or maybe you've been a part of this, okay? You've been praying alongside, or you know of a family member who has been desperately wanting to have kids, and for so long they could not, but then news comes that they're able to have a child. And what great grand news that is. Now, whatever way that they have them, it doesn't really matter. God has revealed to them that they get to have a child. And what a glorious moment that is, right? No? Yeah. I mean, can you imagine just for a second the news that has been just taking you blindsidedly of something that happened that you never expected? Some of the times, it's a death in the family. I know, just being sensitive in the timeline which we're at, you know, I want to be respectful, but that's the fact of the matter. I remember a kid whom I grew up with from the fifth grade all the way up to, you know, we were running around at college and that, you know, period of my life. His parents loved me as one of their kids, and I loved them, and we grew up together. We had a great time. We went to church together. We got in trouble together. We were praised together. You know, we spent money, too much money together. We did awesome, cool stuff that nobody would ever believe, and then we did the most dumb things together, right? That's just life, you know. And so I grew up, and he's always there, and he was always going to be there. And then you're traveling down the road with your family, and you get a phone call that he decided to end his life. That blindsided me. That took me by surprise. That was completely unexpected. Here's this kid that grew up in a Baptist church, you know, singing the same songs I sang. Listen to the same biblical accounts. And by the way, I use the word story. I don't believe that the Bible is filled with stories. They're biblical accounts. They're truths of God's word. So just mind that just for a second. But I just always thought that this individual was going to, you know, continue on. And don't we all? I mean, some of this mindset when we're in our early 20s that we're going to live forever. And God never promised that. You know, well, he did say you'd live with me forever in my kingdom if you received Christ. And there is this idea that, not an idea, it's a truth, that you're going to live forever in eternal separation from him called hell. But just here on earth, you know, a friend of mine, again, just caught me off guard. He got hit by a motorcycle and his life was ended just like that. He said his motto, and it's inscripted on his tomb, is, you know, live every day like it's your last. And that's the world. It's exactly what the world would do. So getting on this idea that we are a part in our everyday lives of unexpected turn of events that could change your life forever, ever, either for the good or for the bad, is all around us. And I think that some of the times that the little surprises of life are taken out, taken away for the sake of ease and convenience and comfort. Some of the folks, you know, like to plan for when they have a child. They need to know if it's a boy or a girl, or they need to know, you know, what the name is going to be, and they set all those up. And then there's those individuals that are expecting that will have, you know, no name picked out because they don't know what the gender is going to be until the baby comes out. Or that time where the young lady is waiting for the young man to make the final move, right? You know what move I'm talking about, the will you marry me move, you know? And some of the times the guys are really good at this. They put a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort. They schedule it. They set it up. They're going to go to this most romantic place. They got all of their friends and family hidden somewhere, which I don't know why you would do that, but they do. And they set up this big stage to pop the very big question. And, of course, the young lady's taken by surprise. She's smitten, and she's crying, and she's like, yes! And they're jumping up and down and hugging, and they have this big, glorious moment in their life. I hope that you guys are grabbing onto this because you're looking at me like, man, I've never had any of these moments, which is cool. That's fine if you haven't. But I'm just saying the fact is that there are events in our lives that are going to have a small audience of people that are closest to us in places where we would say it is mundane. But the news is going to be so great and so grand that it's going to blow your mind, if I could say it like that. Some people will look on social media and they'll find a fun fact and will be like, man, that blows my mind. I'm going to say, like, we don't really know mind-blowing, and if we needed to talk to somebody about minds being blown, we need to talk to this group of shepherds here. Their minds were blown. Now, I'm talking, like, in a magnanimous way, okay? That was a big word. But have you ever talked to somebody, and you're talking to them, and they're all smiley and teary, and you're saying something, and you don't think it's wrong, or whatever it is the conversation is, but all of a sudden their visage changes, okay? It's not that they've tuned you out. They may now not desire to spend the rest of that moment with you, right? Maybe it's something to that degree, right? You know, I think the shepherd's visions changed that night just a little bit, okay? Now, sometimes when we're caught off guard, we're surprised or scared, we might scream or shrill, right, guys? I mean, right, girls? Yeah. Some of the times we're taken off guard a little bit, and we're impacted in such a way that all that we can do is just freeze. Can't move. We're just stuck in that fine, small moment. You know what I'm talking about. When it comes back behind you and then you realize, how long was I standing there motionless? Did I say anything? Should I have said anything? How should I have reacted? Sometimes people can be scared in such a moment that they have two responses. It's either fight or flight. I love watching these little videos of kids getting scared by the Grinch. You know? Man, they just scream their face off and they take off running, right? Those are my favorites. But some of them, they jump up and they turn around and they bop the Grinch right in the nose, you know? That's their reaction. Here's the deal, is that unexpected moment demanded a response. It will for all of our lives. Whether it's good or bad, whether it's positive or negative, whether it's unbelievable or expected, it's going to demand a response. Looking at this biblical account here before us, there's a small group of intimate people there. They were doing their normal routine. They were where they were supposed to be. They were behaving like they were supposed to behave. They fit inside of their class, if you will. And they were doing just what it is that they've been called to do. Tend to the sheep. Keep the sheep. This announcement that arrived to them was something in which they never would have anticipated or expected to them. Why me? Why would you? I can't imagine all of the questions that the angels left them that night. If you looked at verse 8 and 9, it says they were tending sheep in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And that little audience there that night, they were just simply abiding in the field. Ordinary men. If I could say it in the context of today, is ordinary men and women are just abiding in their fields where they're supposed to be, faithfully taking one step after another, faithfully moving forward, just making sure that their obligation and duties are fulfilled. This field, this idea of being in the field, and this word and phrase specifically in the context of Scripture is also talking about the same field where lilies are clothed. This is the same place where, as you are dutifully and faithfully keeping your responsibility, you're going to be taken care of. This is also the same field, out of Matthew chapter 13, is which the seed is sown. The Word of God is sown. Now, the field is representing the earth, not the actual physical globe of the earth, but the substance thereof, or can I call it men and women. This is where the seed of God's word is being sown, in this place, in the field, in the earth. They were simply just staying there. They were dwelling. They were doing what it is that they've always been taught to do and trained to do. This is the same field or earth in which the Scripture refers to where men are called out from. As some were tilling ground, as some were maybe in the fields. Some were maybe at the exchanger tables. Some were making tents and others were fishing. But these are the same fields from which men are called out from. How many of us consider ourselves just common folks, staying steady at it, doing what it is every single day we've been taught to do, being faithful to the work in this field? And then all of a sudden, it's like, wham. It just hits them. It comes right up upon them. I mean, this giant, giant angel-like figure, if I could say giant in the sense of not in height or stature, but in just in presence alone, coming right before you, right almost like in your face. All of a sudden, it's there. And the light, which is brilliant and bright, and it refers to this light that was almost so blinding that it would have been the same light that Saul would have experienced on the road of Damascus. This is, can I call it, borrowed light from God? Because this isn't light that even the angels can conjure up in of themselves. This is something that comes directly from God, such as the position. The position of the actual angel, Gabriel, whom we know who it is, he received the position messenger from God. That was something that was dutifully given to him to be able to perform. Now, he's now an ordinary angel. We've seen him on a variety of different accounts and different exposures all throughout Scripture, making different appearances. One such appearance wasn't too long before this one. As we would say in Matthew 20, we would look, it says, "But while he thought Joseph on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." It's the same angel, Angel Gabriel, that we find in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, as he is holding a conversation with Mary herself. But he's accompanied by a host of angels. There's the difference. See, all the other times he intimately came to these individuals, but this time he brought the host, he brought an army of angels. That's what that word host refers to, the idea. So not only do you have a group of people, a small net, close group of people in the world, in the earth, commonly just moving forward one step at a time, being faithful to their work, have now been shown something from God. And now a messenger from God is delivering God's word. This word or this message coming from the Lord is something that should be often taken not just in December each year, but in every single circumstance that we find ourselves in. What's this message? Look at verse 10. It's a message of assurance because he said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." He's like, stop, wait a minute, don't move, don't run, right? Maybe he knew these guys were the flight guys, you know? He knew they were going to take off running for the woods. You know, I think if I put myself in that position, I am frozen to the ground. Right? I mean, my insides might loosen up a little bit, if you know what I'm going. So with that being said, is that the reaction, humanly speaking, is in such a response to them to where they have given the full attention over now to the messenger and the message, and that is to fear not. They were awestruck. And it was a message of an acceptance, not only of assurance, but acceptance, because he said, good tidings of great joy. He said, which shall be to all people, not just you, but to everyone. So here comes this messenger from God, delivering the message of God to individuals who are of a collective sort, maybe one of a social class that would not maybe be up at the top, but nonetheless, they're moving forward step by step, faithfully, doing what it is that they've always been taught to do, and now they're receiving this message of assurance and acceptance, good tidings. Let me rephrase it, good news. Rephrase it one more time, the gospel. So now you have the word of God coming to them. Hey, I have the gospel to give to you, not just to you, but to everybody else that's out there. That's pretty awesome. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, if that was the only scripture that we had, it'd still be enough to save the souls of men. God in his love accepts all who come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And every one of us can experience the forgiveness of sins and the assurance of eternal security by accepting Jesus Christ, by accepting the gospel, the good news, the good tidings of great joy. This message was received with great anticipation, as you can only imagine, because it goes on in verse 13 and 14. If you look at there with me real quickly, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." This is a promise of peace on earth. Like right now, a message of peace on earth is really receptive to a lot of people out there, is it not? And if we're dutifully watching what God has predicted in the revelations and in other aspects of the scripture, there's a gathering that's happening over in the Middle East right now. We could say, like, is there going to be peace in the Middle East? Maybe so. I don't really know. I'm not forecasting that, okay? I'm just forth telling some truth tonight that this is a peace to the earth from which we're called out from, the earth from which we're dutifully, faithfully attending the fields in, the earth from which we are clothed in, the earth from which God has now spoken his truth into, and this truth is of peace. Peace from God. Romans 1:7. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. It's peace with God, as he said in Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the faith of God, as Paul wrote in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So now you just had the messenger deliver the message, the good news. That shock and awe experience that maybe some of us has experienced. That great big announcement, the big news that has been revealed to you now demands a response. God's word, God's messenger has given now the gospel, and now it demands a response. What were the responses from the shepherd? Look at verse 15. They said this, "Let us now go. Go even unto Bethlehem, and," what's that next word? "See this thing which hath made no," or excuse me, let me put my finger there so I can see it. Maybe I need those glasses that pastor has to be able to see this. It says, "And see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Verse 16, "And they came with haste." Those are three things that I really want to draw out. They go, see, and haste. There is a pursuit after Jesus Christ, this person, the babe that was wrapped in dead man's clothes, which that's what swaddling clothes was. The clothes in which he was given at birth was the same clothes that he was given at death, which is pretty mind-blowing in itself. But they were told to go to a specific place of Bethlehem, the house of bread, to go find a baby, named Jesus Christ, right? Emmanuel, God with us, or Jesus Christ called himself the bread of life, which was pretty amazing, going to the house of bread to see the bread of life. That's pretty awesome. But it was not effortless. They traveled on foot. Maybe they grabbed a donkey. Maybe they grabbed a camel. I'm not really for sure. I don't think they rode on their sheep because they may have broke their back, and that would just look weird with a bunch of shepherds riding on sheep into the... Well, never mind. Okay, so there was no committee, though, that I saw here making a decision together, like a conference or a team. You know, what should we do about this? You know, it was like a unanimous decision. Hey, let's all go, and let's go now. Let's go as fast as we possibly can. That's what haste meant. And so as they went, they were understanding that, hey, this messenger that just delivered the message unified us. The word of God unifies people to go to a specific direction. It unifies sinners and the Savior. It unifies bringing believers from the field to tell other people about Jesus Christ. They published the good news. Look at verse 17. That was one of their response. That was a response mechanism. And when they had seen it, it being the baby, Jesus Christ, the sign, the gospel, the good news, the word made in flesh, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Okay, so verse 17, it was made known abroad. Look at verse 18. It says, "And they all that heard it wondered at those things which were told of them by the shepherds." Verse 15, it also says that, that they were to go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. God made known to them the good news. They have taken the good news and made known to other individuals. The same glad tidings. The same gospel that brought good news. The same gospel that put them in a state of shock and awe is now making people just wonder. It's now making their minds think. It's challenging their hearts. It's wondering, it's making them cause to think, now wait a minute, is the prophecy true? Or if you're in Herod's office, you're like, wait a minute, I've heard this story before. Come here, guys, tell me what the scripture says. They also did this in verse 20, they praised God. It says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Their reaction to the good news, to the tidings, was a pursuit after Christ, published it to all, and then returned back to the field from which they were called from to tell others to praise, glorifying the Lord. That's what glorifying is to boast up, to vaunt up, to praise out loud. Yeah, praising is singing, but glorifying is edifying. It's telling other people about what God has done for you. Listen, some of the people may not have Romans Road memorized, though it's a good idea, so that the Holy Spirit can draw it out of you when you do go and witness. But maybe the Lord is using your testimony in life to share to somebody else, to encourage them in their walk with the Lord, to encourage them to accept Jesus Christ. Listen, let me take you to the side and tell you what Jesus has done for me. You may not know how to quote Scripture, but I bet you can hand out a tract. You may not be able to invite them into church, but maybe you take them to your house for Friday night pizza. Hospitality of Jesus Christ can be demonstrated through the believer who wants to publish the good news to those who need it most. What does this mean for us? This is our assignment. The actions of the shepherds, it's not about the Shekinah glory light that was coming down from heaven. It was not about how they were so scared and that they ran to go see the baby. It wasn't about the moment in which they saw the baby as much as it is to this fact, is that glorifying God is telling other people about Jesus Christ. And God did put you in your place, in your corner of the world, to tell other people about Jesus Christ. He put you in the United States for a reason. He put you in Kansas City for a reason. He put you in this church for a reason. God didn't do this by accident, okay? God gave us a specific purpose in life, a holy calling for all of our lives to make known unto the world wherever we go. It's the song, Bright in the Corner. Well, I'm not even going to sing it. I almost tried, but I just stopped. I spared you, okay? We're to declare the word of God. Verse 17 and 18 clearly speaks to that. They just repeated what it is that they had seen and heard. Church family, you've probably been in your place faithfully, moving step by step for years, maybe decades. You've been inside that same routine. You've been faithful to the area in which God has called you. But have you gone out so far in that you have witnessed personally to people the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ? I mean, you've really sat them down and intimately spoken to their lives about how they can know and understand Jesus Christ. Or maybe that you can't, and that's okay. Maybe that you do know of a place or a person, like a pastor, or what the book of Revelation called an angel. An angel is a man of God, okay, who delivers the message of God and is able to herald it out, to speak it out, in such a way that it causes people to wonder. Churches like this don't exist everywhere. There's a great need for more churches, but there's also a great need for churches to be revitalized. Could I say it like that? Restarted? As much as we put stock into finding the perfect gift for that someone whom we love and we love sharing this time of year with, some of those individuals are individuals that you only want to share this event with once a year, right? You only want to see them once a year. But God gave them to you to speak the gospel, to speak the truth, to declare what it is that God has declared to you. You thought of salvation as such an idea that you needed it the most. And you, for some of us, understand how important that is to you. If it means that much to you, do you think it would mean that much to somebody else who has not received Christ? You're saying, man, this is the same gospel message. Listen, I can't help but share the gospel message over and over and over and over and over again. It's the most important thing to me. There's individuals that are in our city and in our families that we're willing to neglect, turn a blindfold eye to, for the sake of convenience or fear of injecting or fear of ruffling somebody's feathers and causing an offense in the family. Who wants that? No one wants an offense in the family. But you certainly don't ever want to leave an interaction and exchange with them without sharing what God has done for you. I think we can make it difficult because we get scared. Some Christians are fearful of the thought of just sharing what God has done for them, and their tendency is to worry about their weaknesses and their inabilities. When God was talking to Paul, he's like, I'm going to take your weaknesses and I'm going to turn them upside down. I'm going to take your reproaches, your necessities, your infirmities. I'm going to take all of your weaknesses and I'm going to turn them around for Christ's sake. He's like, yeah, I brought Paul, well, the mighty apostle Paul, down to nothing, to brokenness, basically, so that I can use his weaknesses and the glory of God and the power and the strength to be revealed in his life. Those who are poor and prosperous need to hear the gospel, and those who are poor and prosperous need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. If God can, you know, use a boozer baseball player like Billy Sunday to be the greatest enemy of alcohol during its time, or just a, you know, shady little shoe salesman, D.L. Moody, to shake two continents. We can use a slave trader like John Newton to scribe amazing grace. If he can use Saul, who was killing Jews, but then later write half of the New Testament. I mean, if he can use David, who was a shepherd boy, but then committed adultery and sinned in front of a nation and committed murder, but then he was a man after his own heart. And God certainly used Moses, who was a committed murderer, who was given over to anger, and had a speech impediment, but delivered millions of people to the promised land. If God can use these individuals, he can certainly use you and me. But you have to be willing. See, that was the difference between all of those people that I just listed. That was the difference between the shepherds and anybody else. Wise men returned to their own countries. Okay, I'm sorry, in this account, God did not use a donkey to speak into anybody's life. Right? He used shepherds. Those shepherds were sometimes found outside of the temple walls because they weren't allowed in. Those shepherds were the least of society. Those shepherds went to places where the individuals were wondering, why are you probably even talking to me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, just when we think that God might be done with us, you know, or has gone silent, remember that he's actually chosen the believer to tell the gospel, to tell the news that a Savior has been born. Just like he chose the shepherd, he chooses the believer. See, God's plan for telling the world about his son Jesus Christ, being born, he used ordinary shepherds doing ordinary work. But they encountered Jesus Christ personally. I bet there are believers in here tonight who have encountered Jesus Christ personally and received him as their Savior. But what separated those shepherds from the rest of them is that they were willing to make known their discovery to anybody who would listen. So the question is, would you or will you? Lord, I love you and I thank you, God, for what you've done.